entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, Jim Potts, Zayla, and Jamal back on the line again. And as always, thank you so much for sharing your Sunday afternoon or your Sunday evening with us. Yeah, I'm wearing a mask. You guys heard about the LA County laws here, so we're kind of being somewhat facetious with this. So I'm actually going to end up taking it off. But it's the whole controversy about a mask on, mask off. Jamal's got his on, he's got his off. So we don't know, okay? I'm not sure that the government knows. But anyway, Jamal, go ahead and say hello to everybody.
Hey, happy Sunday. Glad to be back with you guys.
Zaylor?
Happy Sunday, everyone, from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
All right. So all three of us are checking in. Hey, look, everybody, today we're going to be talking about, first of all, we're going to have Dr. Potts, my older brother, is going to be back on the show today to talk about the Delta variant. Already getting some emails and things or requests for information as well on that. And then we're going to be talking about this business with big tech and the censorship and working with the federal government to actually censor people that are giving out, quote unquote, misinformation. So I don't know. We'll just see how that rolls. So for right now, we're going to go ahead and turn it over to Jamal, who, you know, I'd be shocked if he didn't have a blast for somebody. So
I got a blast and a shout out all together, man.
Oh, okay.
But no, I want to send a special shout out, first of all, man. I want to say rest in peace to the legendary hip hop artist, Biz Markie, who passed away at the age of 57.
Hang on a second. There's an incoming call. Let me see what this is about here. Hello. You're on the air with Jim Potts.
Hello, Jimmy.
Hey. How you doing there, Dr. Charlie? Hold on.
Alrighty.
Good. Hold on a second. Jamal's got his...
Hey, Uncle Charles, you interrupted my segment, man. But that's okay. I'll give you a pass today. I'm just playing. No, I wanted to say rest in peace to the legendary Biz Markie, who hip-hop artist who died at the age of 57 due to diabetes complications. For the people who don't know exactly who he is, he was the one that sung that song, You Got What I Need.
Okay, Jamal, you're not auditioning.
Say
go ahead, man.
But you say he's just a friend. But you say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you.
No. He was never trying to be a singer. He wasn't a singer. He was never, but that song did well. Because
right.
Everybody could,
right.
Could empathize with it.
Exactly, exactly.
I'm with you, Jamal.
Yeah, man, he was great, man. Also, I want to send a shout-out and a blast to a woman in Detroit whose Mercedes-Benz was stolen. She went on the hunt to go find that car herself.
Yes, yeah, she did.
It took her, I think, two or three times, and the police kept showing up late, and he got away. And then finally she caught him in a hair salon.
Getting all dolled up.
Getting all dolled. A man in a hair salon getting dolled up, getting his dreads done. She walked right in there.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me stop you. Remember something. He had the car detailed.
Yeah, had the car cleaned and detailed in the parking lot of this hair salon. Cleaned and detailed. Proudly, like it was his. Man, she walked up
That's
in there
hilarious.
And grabbed him by his dreads and drug him out the hair salon. Now, I was expecting this to be a large woman, but she wasn't that large. But man, was she fierce, though, man. And on top of that, to make sure he wouldn't get away again, she slashed the tires of her own car to make sure he wouldn't get away, man. So, hey, shout out to her and him on blast for all of that.
There you go.
And by the way, one more service announcement, man. Everybody got to get ready, man. Get armed. Get prepared, man. Armageddon's about to happen soon. Popeye's Chicken are releasing its new chicken nuggets soon, man. And I can't wait. You know, we know what happened last time when the sandwich came out. You know, all hell broke loose. So they actually hired.
Isn't there a shortage of chicken already?
Yeah, see? I know. I don't know about you, but I'm going to get my nuggets, see?
Okay. yeah, Dr. Potts was with us. He just sent me a text message saying he can't hear the show.
Oh.
So for our technical advisor out there, just to let you know. At any rate, Okay, listen. So for right now, while we're getting that straightened out, because he's going to be back, we do the emails first anyway, and then we'll go from there, and hopefully they'll have that worked out. Okay, let's get to this first email real quick. The Biden administration is not aggressively keeping illegals from our southern border, yet his administration is telling Cubans who need asylum from a communist Cuba, and they're demanding freedom, and yet we are not supporting their effort. Here's what they quoted: "Don't come, or you will be turned back." And I think that was the director of Homeland Security that did that. One of Biden's people. I'm not sure which one it was. I think that's what it was. I remember that. They are not turning back illegal Mexicans, and in fact, they're flying them to different parts of our country. Why not fly them back across the border? Hypocrites. Sally, a proud Cuban. Well, listen, I saw that on the news, and he was saying, don't come. I guess there's 90 miles of water that separates us from Cuba, and I saw that, and like I said, I think it was the director of Homeland Security that came out and said, you know, don't try to come across. If you do, we will return you. Now, that to me, I have to tell you, does appear to be a little hypocritical, because they are in a communist, you know, situation. And they've been persecuted for years, and now they're actually being persecuted. So why do we have the double standard? Well, there's some people that are saying, well, you know, there's more Cubans that vote Republican, 60%. Now, I don't know if this is, the, you know, behind the message, but 60% of Cubans do vote Republican. On the other side of the Southern California, of the Southern border, most of the people coming across, they do vote Democrat. Now, I'm just telling you what's out there, because I looked this up after I spoke to this person. So I don't know. Jamal, the Cuban situation, what's your slant on it?
Can we talk facts here?
Yeah.
Because Kamala Harris did clearly say at the border, don't come.
Jamal, I don't deny that. We've talked about that.
I'm not talking to you directly. You know. We just had an email come in saying I'm responding to the email. Let's not jump up here.
Telling the truth.
So, yeah, Kamala Harris, who I'm not a fan of, she did say,
You're not a fan of her.
And she made it very clear.
Okay,
so
guys.
So they're being consistent and telling the Cubans the same thing.
Okay, hold on a second. Here's the difference. They're going to stop these other people. They're not stopping the Mexicans from coming over. They're not even trying. These people, I know what she's saying.
Lord
don't,
mercy.
She's saying,
so
don't, she's saying, don't come. I understand that. But to say don't come, and you're not enforcing the don't come, that's an issue. These people are still coming. You know, since January 1st, I'm going to finish my point, Zayla, hold on. Since January 1st, they've had 1 million people. 1 million. And those people that make it across here, what they're doing is putting them on buses, on planes, and dropping them at night throughout the country. I'm sorry, Zayla, go ahead.
Is Cuba separated from the United States by water?
So are we.
Question?
So are we. So have you heard
Mexico
of the Rio Grande?
Is Mexico separated from the United States by water? Easy question.
Absolutely. It's called the Rio Grande.
So it's harder for Cubans to get here by water. So there's going to be less Cubans trying to get here by water, but they're coming. And they've been coming forever. They've been coming since before I was born. So the Biden administration having the same policy against Cuba that every president has had before them is somehow a bad thing.
No. We're not going to say every president before him is what we are saying. Is that there's a different message. There's a different. We're not talking about Trump. Here we go again. You guys always like to bring up Trump. Trump is not in office.
Let
me remind you.
All presidents accountable to the same standard, Jim.
Okay. Well, listen.
That's the question.
What last year they had 300,000 that made it over here. This year it's 1 million. Okay, since January.
There is a difference between a land border and a water border.
There
if
is?
If it was easy for Cubans to cross the border by land, there would be more Cubans coming here as well.
And I would agree with you on that. So why don't we finish building that doggone wall and we won't have to worry about
it? Why didn't your president do that?
What do you mean why he didn't do it? He was doing it, and then when he was out of office, Biden stopped it.
Your president had the House and the Senate. Why did he do that?
I know you're not going there, Zeller. Now, come on.
I'm asking you because you're complaining about
Zeller. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. First of all,
Cuba is the same as the issue
first of all,
South America and the United States, and it's not.
Do you finish? You asked me a question. Can I answer it? Okay. Why didn't it get finished during the Trump administration? A couple of different reasons. One, he had to figure out the money, okay, and how to do it. That's the first thing. And I know what you're going to say. He said the Mexicans are going to build it, okay? That's the first thing. I'm going to move on. because with you and Trump, you're not going to even listen to my side of it. You just want to you want to spout your side out. Okay, we got one person that wrote it. We have one person that wrote in. We have one person that wrote in.
Hold on, Z.
We have Zeller. If you keep cutting me off and talking over me, okay, you don't want to go there. Let's listen to let's do it again. Okay, we've got something on here that says the Cubans tend to vote Republican. Florida, red state, would gain congressional seats. So this person is saying that talked about. So whatever. We have another person that emailed in and got some questions for Dr. Potts, but we're going to wait until we get there for that. At any rate, let's move on to the next email. The liberals are constantly yelling about the racist law enforcement. If law enforcement is so racist, why are there so many black police chiefs? Nobody is bringing that up, but I thought it was important to mention. Thanks, Brett. You know what? That is a very good point. Every time I turn around, they've got a black police chief somewhere that's out that's speaking up, which I think is pretty cool. Now, I just did a very cursory look at that. Dallas, Syracuse, Seattle, which is maybe a change there, Phoenix, Portland, and Wilmington, North Carolina, just as a few examples, all have black police chiefs. So I thought that was a very interesting statistic. Jamal?
Yeah, that has nothing to do with the people that's working the beat on the street. And then once again, it's not all. Nobody ever says it's all police officers, but it only takes about five of them in a group of 100 to really do a lot of damage to a whole lot of people. And, you know, it's never all or nothing. I don't know why everybody keeps saying if all police, nobody's saying all.
I didn't say that. All I was telling you was what, you know, responding to this. I think that having a lot of black police chiefs, okay, is a good thing, okay, and hopefully some of that will help, you know, with settling some of these issues that do come up, and that's that. I mean, to me, if we're a country of racists, how do these guys, you know, get to that level, quite frankly? But whatever. Zeller, chime in.
I don't see Republicans stumbling over themselves to support black police chiefs when they get into trouble in regard to any racial issues in their city.
Third email. The Dems fled Texas to prevent a quorum. And okay, fine. But they got on a plane, no mask, and now have three tested positive for COVID. Why can they be on a plane with no mask and we have to wear masks on planes? The hypocrisy by the Dems shows through once again. Jake, Des Moines, Iowa. Zeller, I'll let you chime in first.
Nobody was concerned in regards to Republicans getting COVID. And Jamal laughs because he knows that it's true.
Jamal is laughing because Zeller, because here's what it is. As usual, you know, with the liberals, they always want to point things back.
Oh,
well, I'm asking you a simple question. I'm not even asking you a simple question. The Dems are the ones talking about masks. We're talking about the planes. They're talking about being safe and the rest of this. These people,
okay,
for their own.
Okay.
Let me finish.
Easy,
these people
easy,
jump
easy
on.
Question. Oh, go ahead and finish. Please, I'll let you finish because then I have an important question that applies to federal law, travel. So get to it. I love it. Let's go to it.
Getting back to what I was trying to say is that these guys got on a plane for whatever reason. I'm not saying whether they were justified or not justified. But everybody else in this country that has to fly has to wear a mask. All of these Democrats jump on a plane loaded with their beer and good times. All right. They turn around, no mask, and now three of them have tested positive for COVID. So why does the general public have to wear a mask on planes and they didn't? What were you going to say?
Yeah, I love your source in regards to these Democrats being on the plane without masks. Because I know I've flown 5, 6, 7 different times on the plane, and they explain to everybody, regardless of whether you've gotten the vaccination or not, you have to wear a mask. It's federal law, blah, blah, blah. Now, just because there might be a picture of everybody taking their mask off for a photo so you can see who they are, because if they have masks on and you can't see who they are and then what's the point of taking a photo, doesn't necessarily mean that they flew on the plane without masks on. So I'd love to have the verification in regards to who's the reporting source that they flew the entire way from Texas to D.C. without masks.
I don't know. I just watch CNN. My understanding is CNN was reporting the same thing.
Oh, you watch CNN? That's great.
You know what? We do watch CNN. I'll tell you why we watch CNN. We watch CNN and we watch Fox because what we do is intelligently try to cipher through the information as opposed to just being brainwashed by any one station. Jamal, what do you have to say?
Brainwashed.
Ladies and gentlemen.
My favorite argument. That's my favorite Republican argument. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why I'm an independent, right? This is why I could have my honest opinion, unbiased. Everybody has their honest opinion, but mine, as you can see, are completely unbiased. And that's why I have joined the independent party, y'all.
At any rate. Well, it's not really a problem. Zayla has his opinion. It's totally unbending and without any foundation sometimes. And I have my opinion. It's totally with foundation.
No. Hey, you know
at any rate, let's read this other email. Let's read this other message.
Proof that they flew all the way as opposed to a Fox News report where focused on a photo taken of them when they might have taken their mask off for the photo as opposed to them actually flying across the country. There's people that have their masks on that get COVID. There's lots of reasons why people get COVID. People take their masks off when they're at the grocery store. There's lots of reasons why. So them flying from Texas to D.C. doesn't mean that's when they got COVID.
Well, it's nice to know that you've got a medical background now that you can actually opine on those matters. But
that's great.
Yeah, listen, I understand all the arguments that they would make, Zeller. Oh, we just took it off of the picture.
I have no idea what their arguments are.
You know, well, you have no idea what their arguments are. Never mind. Let's look at this other thing. Here we go. What's the point of sunscreen if I still get sunburn? This is from somebody that's sending us a message. What's the point of an umbrella if my head gets wet when it rains? So what's the point of COVID-19 vaccine that still lets me catch and possibly die from COVID-19. That would be like using sunscreen made from the water and having an umbrella full of holes. So what is the benefit of something that offers no protections? Dr. Potts, can you explain exactly what these vaccines are and how they are designed to affect the body? Well, Charles will be back on in a minute here. We'll make sure we work out whatever technical difficulty. We may have to drop Zale and bring him in, but that's okay. I won't mind doing that today if need be.
You know, we
have to make whatever sacrifices we have to make.
Your show.
Well, let me remind you of that, okay? At any rate, let's keep moving. We have Dr. Potts. So let's see if we can bring Dr. Potts back in. We need to double check with our technical advisor here. So let's see what's going on here. So I think he's trying to bring him in now. So let's see here. Okay. He's on hold. Got it. So, let me see if I can bring him on. Okay, Dr. Potts, are you there? Hold on. He's on hold. So let me see about getting him off hold now. I think technical is working on the...
Jim, if you're doing it, I can't do it. Just ask him to call back.
Charles, call back in. They're gonna get your call coming back in. So hang up and call back in, Charles. Okay, while we're doing that, all right. So let me explain something to the audience. See, Zeller, for those of you who don't know, is my third son. All right. So I give him a lot of leeway. I've given all of them a lot of leeway in having these kind of, he's my stepson, having a lot of these discussions. I give them a little leeway with some of this. So if you think we have these discussions just on the air, forget it. We have these discussions off the air.
All the time.
You know, all the time.
On the phone, text messages, and emails.
Okay, hold on a second. Okay, we got Charles coming here. And see, he's out of town, so I can't strangle him. So I got to just go by. Okay.
I am not out of town. I'm in Minneapolis.
But when I mean out of town, you're not here.
Man.
Okay.
If y'all think this is something, y'all should see us play poker.
Don't get started.
Oh, true. Or spade. Or domino.
Well, it wouldn't be that bad if Zeller wouldn't cheat, but that's okay. No, he doesn't cheat. I'm just kidding.
Oh, Jamal, come on
man,
now.
Hey, bro.
You better back me up here.
My name is Ben and I ain't in it, man. I'm sitting next to him, okay? I'm sitting next to the
okay,
right
Okay, hold
hand.
On a second. Let me see. Charles, are you on the air?
Yes, I'm on the air.
Okay, very good, Charles.
Hey,
how you doing, man?
Uncle Charles.
Hey, how's everybody?
Good. All right. Welcome back.
At any rate, Charles, you'll be a breath of fresh air after the last 10 minutes, I can tell you that, whatever you have to say. But before Charles does speak, let me just tell everybody, we're going to have a disclaimer here. Charles is going to give us some information. We want to be careful about some of the information So he's not advising anybody, okay, about what to do and not do. He's giving us some general information on some of this. And, you know, one of the things we're going to be talking about today is about big tech and, you know, being able to shut down any misinformation or what they deem to be misinformation. So Charles is going to stay within the guidelines, okay, with good information. But, again, we don't know, and this is transmitted on Facebook. So we'll have that discussion afterwards. Charles, one of the people that wrote in said, Dr. Potts, can you explain exactly why what these vaccines are and how they're designed to affect the body? If you feel comfortable with answering that question, at least what the vaccines are supposed to be and how they work internally with the body, I guess. Do you want to handle that or put that on hold?
Certainly more than a few minutes to answer that question.
Uh-huh.
But perhaps I think that we can use the information as it relates to the antivirals in relationship to the viruses. So the antiviral medicines are actually designed to work with the body to produce antibodies by limiting the effectiveness of the virus to invade. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and in particular case, so if we're talking about, and I'm not sure exactly what the foundation of the question is, because it doesn't necessarily.
Well, from a layman's term, Charles.
Go ahead.
From a layperson's position, the vaccine, as I understand it, is supposed to be able to fight off COVID-19. I mean, that's what the general, public will think. Is that a correct statement?
Not exactly. It does help you to resist the full impact of the virus by reducing its ability to multiply in the body.
So you don't get the sickness?
For example, even with antibiotics against bacteria, there are bactericidal and there are bacteriostatic. A bacteriostatic one will essentially hold the bacteria in a neutral position and the body's defenses overcome it.
Okay.
So, and there's some micro or molecular biology associated with this. It's a complicated, it's not just a one-size-fits-all answer.
Right.
So, if we get into a discussion about the Delta variant, mm-hmm. which is what your original question was,
right.
Then in review of that, some of the answers as it relates to what the vaccines do in the body will become clear.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now the Delta variant, and this is, all goes back to SARS-CoV-2, which is updated to SARS-CoV-19 and multiple variants that are emerging. Some are more important than others in terms of their risk. So, these things have been around. Viruses were first discovered in 1892. The first was a tobacco mosaic virus. I couldn't believe that they put in that question on one of the exams is, what's the length of a tobacco mosaic virus? It's 29 angstroms. I had to go look it up after the test. It was in a footnote. Mm. But anyway. A Delta variant is important now, which supersedes the Alpha variant. And for those of you who don't know the Greek alphabet, Alpha is the first one and Delta is the fourth one. So there are multiple variants. And this one's been around since December of 2020, started in India, as you know. Now, it started in a small town called Maharashtra, and then it hit New Delhi. The significance is, with the exposure and increase in rate of 30,000 a day is important, because in that particular place, people were either had previous exposure or they were vaccinated. So this is a variant that's able to override the body's natural immunity or those who've been vaccinated. So in England, as you know, there was the Alpha variant that was prominent for a while that had increased infectivity. The Delta variant is more infective or more transmissible, anywhere from 50 to 100% more than the Alpha one. And it has replaced the Alpha one in England to now 90% of what's going on in the United Kingdom is based on a Delta one. Now, in some of the articles, you read that it set off a frenzy of research to understand what is going on, because it's spreading so much faster than the other variants of concerns. Now, let's say, for example, you take your ring finger, and your ring finger is the spike protein. The neutralizing antibody would attach itself to your ring finger to prevent you from being able to put a ring on it. Okay?
I'm with you.
Now, take that same finger and you wrap your middle finger around your ring finger, and you can't put a ring on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what the virus has done is modified the part where the spike protein, the neutralizing antibody, would ordinarily attach. So you can't put your neutralizing antibody onto it because it's modified the site for attachment. Now, all of these things as it relates to these proteins, they undergo conformational changes. There are bonds that cause it to take a particular shape. And what we have done is identified what causes it to attach to the body and then created something to prevent it from attaching to the body. And this in part answers the question that was sent in to you. What the virus has done in response is modified your ability to block it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, viruses are a dynamic entity. They are out here in the general population. They're out here in the world. They account for 0.12% of the entire biomass of the planet. Humans are only half of that in terms of biomass. By biomass, we're talking about the weight. So if you have a 300-pound person, the amount of weight equivalent in viruses on the planet would be 600 pounds. So
we're behind the eight ball.
Oh, yeah. You're outweighed 2 to 1 just in sheer weight. Now, you know how small a virus is. The Bacillus mosaic virus, an angstrom is pretty small. So, fortunately, they're not really, the majority of them are not problematic. But you have to keep in mind, a virus is a highly adaptive component of nature, and it can affect DNA or other structures, et cetera, within the body. And that's how they survive. It attaches to a host. It inserts a strand of, whether it's a DNA, if it's a DNA virus, it would insert a strand of DNA. If it's an RNA virus, it inserts a strand of RNA. And it interrupts the cell's machinery and causes it to make more virus particles. At a certain point, when a critical mass is reached, the cell's machinery stops, assembles all the particles, and now you have thousands of particles that break through the cell that can affect 1,000 other cells. So that's pretty much how they move. Now, the problem with the Delta variant is that it is finding a way to adapt more easily in human hosts. Now, that's problematic. As you know, the SARS, the coronavirus has natural hosts, which are cats, cattle, camels, and bats. And that kind of sounds like a Dr. Seuss thing. Now, if it adapts to humans as a host and finds a way to attack and remain within the system because it's blocking access. This point that we're talking about as it relates to the spike protein, there are 9 mutations in some studies that relate to its infectivity and ability to circumvent the our efforts to block its infectivity. The vaccines that are out there are reported as varying in success to protect against this particular variant. Israel reports probably the lowest rate of effectiveness of the existing vaccines. So the range is wide. It may be from 70% to 95%, let's say. Mm. Now, feel free to jump in and ask questions if you like.
Yeah, Dr. Potts, what's the vaccine that Israel's using?
I thought they were using the Pfizer vaccine, but they've studied all of them. So I don't know how their population breaks down in terms of preference. They certainly have them all. Or have access to them.
Mm-hmm. So, Charles, we're really fighting. I mean, this virus. Brendan and I were watching this show the other day. And I hate to bring up the name. We were called Ancient Aliens or whatever, but they were just getting into talking about pandemics and things of that nature. And they were going way back to the Middle Ages and things of that nature, where they've actually had these things long time ago with viruses and virus wiping out population. So virus is not new to the earth.
No, they're not. In fact, the Black Death, or the plague, as it was called during the Middle Ages, virtually wiped out 90% of the population of Europe. And those were organisms that were associated with fleas that were on rats and got to cats and got to people. Mm-hmm. That way. And even in terms of, you know, the song Ring Around the Rosie, that was a song for about the Black Death. Ring Around the Rosie was a characteristic appearance of what these lesions look like on the person. Ring Around the Rosie, pocket full of posies. They were using posies as some kind of natural repellent, kind of way you would hang garlic or something around your neck. Pocket full of posies, ashes, we all fall down. Damn. People were dying and their bodies were being burned. So it's not really a very nice song. It has stuck as a nursery rhyme, but it really pertains to a time in history that was very bleak indeed. Now, even when you look at the more recent one, the influenza epidemic of 1918, the population at that time was 1.5 billion people globally. We are now 7.68 billion people, 5 times that amount. And the challenges that we're far closer together and the reservoirs that are natural reservoirs for microorganisms is being drastically reduced. For example, when you talk about the influenza epidemic of 1918, which was also called the Spanish flu because it was identified in Spain at the time, and possibly various other places. That one has not really gone away. Your flu shot is still related to that 1918 influenza epidemic, and it goes through a mutation every 5 years, a major mutation every 20. So your bird flu, swine flu, et cetera, are derivations of that. And that relates to the viruses moving from one host to another host and adapting as it goes along. If you think about an entity that is functionally able to adapt to another cell's or another host DNA or RNA, when you make, so if you want a race, they can adapt far more quickly than we can figure out what the adaptations are. So the spike protein idea was, well, keep it from attaching to the host. Well, they can modify the spike protein. And there are several of these mutations that are going on simultaneously. Now, you figure that the molecular reactions that take place in your body take place at a rate of about 2,000 per second. These things are identifying opportunities faster than you can blink. So mutations that are successful that can very quickly develop. Now, the Delta one is particularly troubling because the incidence of indoor transmission is a lot higher or a lot faster. And whereas the contacts at home, when you went home, you felt fairly safe. Well, the transmission rate in homes with home contact is 53% compared to 17% with the original wild strain of the SARS-CoV-2. And that's what's prompting people going back to the social distancing and wearing the mask and cleaning contact surfaces. If you're in a position where you have far more crowding conditions and people are indoors more, especially in colder climates, a virus that is able to adapt to that environment with its host is going to be more problematic. So let's talk about the people for a moment who are at risk. So, well, even if you were looking at the mortality rate is from COVID is about 1.7879%. Which means the survival rate is 98.22% or so. So the people who are more at risk for this is people with cancer, cerebrovascular disease, chronic kidney disease, COPD, or that's chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, diabetes mellitus type 1, type 2, heart conditions such as heart failure, coronary artery disease, or cardiomyopathies, smoking, current and former, obesity, pregnancy, and recent pregnancy, children with underlying conditions, Down syndrome, HIV, neurologic conditions, overweight people, and other lung diseases, including interstitial lung disease, pulmonary fibrosis, pulmonary hypertension, sickle cell disease, solid organ or blood stem cell transplants, substance use disorders, use of corticosteroids or immunosuppressive medications, cystic fibrosis, thalassemia, which is a blood disorder, asthma, another respiratory disorder, hypertension, another cerebrovascular or cardiovascular problem, liver disease, and immune deficiencies. Now, if you look at the top 10.
What about those with ingrown toenails? Just kidding, man.
Hey, I was going to say.
What's left?
Who's left? Like you just named exactly. You said 1% was in trouble, but then you named off 98% of the population.
I think that's at least 2% of the U.S. population.
Yeah. Hey, he sounded like one of those commercials where they say you take these pills.
Oh,
but
yeah. Oh,
warning, it might have this, that. He read that off pretty fast. I'm sorry. Go ahead, continue.
and you know the same way the commercials do.
Right.
So now the top 10 deaths, those are the people who are most at risk. But if you look at the chronic diseases responsible for the top for 7 out of the 10 deaths each year, they are respiratory disease, heart disease, cancer, stroke, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, diabetes. Now, aside from injuries, you also have Alzheimer's disease, Now, influenza and pneumonia, those are more respiratory diseases. Again, kidney disease and septicemia. So the people who are most likely to die are also have the chronic conditions that are killing 7 out of 10 Americans every year. You see where there's overlap?
Right.
So now what is COVID? COVID is a variation or a form of respiratory disease. Now, influenza pneumonia, 30% of people who end up in an ICU die of influenza or pneumonia. On the average, the mortality rate is 20%. In people over 80, it's about 38%. So there is some overlap with your risk factors for dying from COVID, from your risk factors of dying in the 7 out of 10 causes of death each year. Now, those diseases that I just listed account for 1.7 million deaths in America. We want to manage some of these risk factors, then you really have to address what are the underlying health concerns or choices that are being made that lead to high blood pressure, asthma, liver disease, you know, cancer. You know, it's some of that is potentially preventable.
So it's all about how you manage.
That's an entirely different thing. Vaccines can't help you with some of those risk factors. But what they do is mitigate the risk that's associated to how a virus interacts with the body.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Potts, quick question. So it sounds like the vaccine works better if you're in better health, but if you're in poorer health and you have made poor decisions or have bad health because of whatever issues it is, then the vaccine is less helpful in regard to helping prevent serious health conditions as it relates to COVID.
I think that your observation is a good one. I think that's a valid observation to make, that your responsibility for your maintaining or directing your actions to a healthier lifestyle, that should be your first platform or your basis.
Well, we should have thought about that well before a pandemic showed up on our doorstep, right?
Well, those things have been promoted, you know, even back in viruses came about, I think we discovered the first one around 1928. Even around that time, there were many individuals, organizations, or people who were promoting healthier lifestyle going back. So
people don't pay attention to
like
those things.
Jethro Kloss, Back to Eden. Some of it, I guess, nutritional deficiencies, for example. If zinc is a gatekeeper for the immune system, how often do you get zinc levels done? Mm-hmm. If vitamin D, which is protective of the endothelial lining of blood vessels, your lungs, etc., roughly, if you look up what are the statistics on vitamin D deficiency in the U.S., you see it might be as high as 49%. And people are tuned into getting that from sunlight. Well, if you were going to get enough sunlight, why'd they put it in milk and bread and cheese and all these other things? So you're not able to get as much based on either latitude, and the further north you are, the less likely you are to get that. So you need to be taking it exogenously. So there's a lot that could be discussed in terms of what it is that you can do to help a vaccine help you.
Charles, but you know,
so
Charles,
here's an important caveat. And whenever you get pneumonia, whatever kind of pneumonia it is, your lungs never go back to the, you know, original base state of, you don't bounce back all the way. So if you have multiple bouts of pneumonia, as you get older, you're going to have more risk. Cigarette smoking paralyzes the cilia in the lungs, prevent them from clearing particulate matter. If that particulate matter has a high concentration of viruses that are also in the presence of the ACE2 receptor, which is what it attaches to in the body, you're at high risk for developing not just pneumonia, but in particular SARS-CoV-2 or 19 or Delta variant or any of the other variants, because there are ACE2 receptors in the lung, as there is in adipose tissue, cardiac tissue, blood vessels. And when you look at what is killing the people with these, who are dying in the ICUs, et cetera, it is really related to the consequences of a viral load and what the virus attaches to. So.
You know, Charles, a long time ago, you told me, everybody's got to take responsibility for their health. And, you know, this is a lifestyle that starts back a long time ago for people. When they're younger, what you're doing, what you don't do, because it can impact you in the back end. It's like cigarette smokers. Cigarette smokers know the dangers of cigarettes, you know, smoking, and they smoke anyway. So some people don't care about the healthy lifestyle. They just want to live their life the way they want to live it.
Well, until, they get hit.
Right. Well, like Mike Tyson said.
I mean, even I have patients that have COPD to the point where they're on continuous oxygen, even liquid oxygen, even 12 liters per minute, that are trying to smoke cigarettes with the oxygen on. And, yeah, they do blow their face up sometimes.
Right.
And even after that, sometimes they don't stop. So nicotine is an addiction, for real, and it overrides, you know, good judgment. So, but what are you going to do? Now, in terms of the research and the interventions as it relates to the vaccines, the goal is not just to save lives immediately, but it also creates an opportunity to give the virus less room to evolve further. Now, whenever the virus is within an individual and it's making copies, and it's estimated that the Delta variant has 2,000 more copies per unit of measure than the, let's call it the wild type virus, that only makes sense because the virus is able to prevent you from blocking it, so it has the opportunity to make more copies. So expect that. Now, what is your body doing naturally to repel that? Well, that's difficult to answer depending on what your underlying disease or combination of diseases are. So people with multiple comorbidities, they are extremely at risk. If this virus mutates into a healthier and healthier population, then everyone will be at risk.
Hey, I got a
for
quick,
increasing risk. If you don't know where it's
going. Well, we
got to
watch the time.
Now, the virus
we got
does
2 minutes
not
left.
Intend to kill off the host.
Right.
I got a quick question. You mentioned that cigarette smokers are at high risk. Now, this question is not for me, but this for some listeners. Are marijuana smokers are just as much risk as cigarette smokers?
No, because it's primarily the They have some shared risk, but not as much.
Okay,
we only got about...
Because it's the nicotine and the tar that paralyzes the cilia.
Got it.
Marijuana is not as much a concern in that regard.
Okay.
So, but the jury's still out in terms of what are the interactions internally with any chemical you put into your body, manufactured or natural.
Right.
Okay. We want
one of the things
Charles,
that gives you
Charles,
evidence
Charles,
of that
got,
is the
Charles.
First thing that happens when your body is insulted is zinc, which is the gatekeeper of your immune system, it retreats intracellularly. And that is because there are some things that invade the body that require zinc to multiply.
Hey, Charles.
So your body's response is, you got to go?
Yeah. Okay. We got 1 minute left to go here.
I'll let you close out then.
Yeah, well, we definitely appreciate the information you've given out to the listeners.
Thank you so much.
And I'm sure they were all taking notes as fast as they can. But this is a show that they can always go back, you know, and listen to it in the archives and things of that nature. But as usual, you know, I call my brother Dr. Deep, you guys. Now you know why. He's very well versed with all of this.
Well, you got to do your homework, everybody.
Right, there it is.
Do your own research.
So we want to thank you for being on the show with us again, Charles. We really do appreciate it. All right, with that in mind, everybody, it's time to close out the show. And as always, thank everybody for listening. And do us a favor, if you like what you heard, spread the word. And do not forget, my book is due out on Tuesday. Talk to you later, everybody. See you next week. Small sign off.
Hey, happy Sunday, everybody. All right. Enjoy your evening.
Say goodbye to Zeller because he won't be back. No, just kidding.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.